This podcast is part of the Erotica Podcast Network, which includes the Erotica Podcast, Erotica Sci-Fi and Fantasy, Erotica Loving Wives, the Spotify podcast Erotica Taboo, and the E.P. and Non-Erotic Podcast. Both the Erotica Podcast and the Erotica Taboo Podcast offer $2 subscriptions with bonus episodes. Links for everything are in the podcast description. This podcast contains mature content and is intended for an adult audience only. It contains explicit words, thoughts, and ideas. The content of all stories is fiction with any similarities to real people or events being purely coincidental. This podcast is not intended for anything but entertainment of the listener, and if you do not agree with the themes listed in the tags, please do not listen to the story. All characters engaging in sexual relationships or activities are 18 years old or older. This story was found on a free website and brought to audio form here. I did not write and take no credit for this story. Please visit the link in the comments to further support this author. Secretaries in Bondage by Dr. Squeaky. I paid the cab driver and turned to walk into the shiny, glass-encased office building. The bright Southern California sun blinded me, and since I hadn't needed them when I boarded the plane at LaGuardia at 6 a.m., I hadn't thought to bring sunglasses. I was momentarily snowblind when I entered the building. As my eyes adjusted, I saw a reception desk in front of me emblazoned with the emblem, Better Bonds Incorporated. There was a young, tan, very attractive woman in a business suit wearing a headset looking at me expectantly. Her hair was bleached almost white from sun, although it might have been some shade of blonde to begin with. Her blouse didn't actually show as much cleavage as its first impression made you think it did because the neckline was accentuated by a tight choker around her neck. I stepped forward and began. I'm Jack Edwards. Of course, from Affirmative Investments. She interrupted efficiently. I shall inform Mr. Bauer that you're here. Thank you, I said. Of course, I expected that everyone would be exceedingly polite to me. My company had just bought out BBI, and I was leading the team in charge of assimilating our business operations. In other words, I would be deciding who got laid off and who was retained. In a few minutes, another tall, beautiful woman came from the back. She was tanned, with brown curly hair, a very short skirt, and bare legs and pumps. The blouse she wore under her jacket was cut exactly at hem level, so that if she moved to either side, an enticing strip of flat, tan belly peeked out. A blouse like that was too racy for the financial district in New York, but perhaps things were different in LA. She came to me extending her hand, which caused the tiny strip of flesh to peek out momentarily. Nice to meet you, Mr. Edwards, she said in a husky voice. My name is Ellen, and I'm one of Mr. Bauer's personal assistants. One of? How many did he need? I'm to take you wherever you wish to go. I'd like to start with HR, please, I replied. I'd been able to see most of the company's financials on the plane, since it had been part of the due diligence. I hadn't seen anything about the staff. It seemed a strange situation. Morris Bauer had started Better Bonds from scratch 20 years ago and had built it into a multi-million-dollar investment firm. At a time when the market was stinging from the collapse of junk bonds, he stepped in and started buying investment-grade bonds at high interest rates. He had grown a reputation for knowing a worthless bond from a golden one. Then about 3 years ago, Better Bonds' bottom line suddenly started shrinking. Operating expenses seemed to keep increasing at a much faster rate than profits. With the stock market becoming volatile, Affirmative wanted to increase its presence in the bond market and made an unsolicited offer for BBI. Their board turned on its founder and sold out while it was still just barely profitable. He would be all right, though he owned enough stock to clear probably $300 million from the sale, on top of the fortune he made when he took the company public in the first place. I was set up in a conference room and was given access to the company's personnel files. I began going through them. I paid no attention when Ellen excused herself momentarily. At first glance, that staffing level seemed about right, but the expenses still seemed so high. I started looking at individual employees, and what? What's this? A position classified as a special assistant to Mr. Bauer, presumably a personal assistant but making $200,000 a year, plus stock options. That's as much money as I made that would have to stop, I thought. And then, what? Another one? I'm Morris Bauer, said a voice behind me. I stood to meet the founder. He was silver-haired and thin on top, but also tan and appeared fit for a man of 60. Pleased to meet you, Mr. Bauer, I began, shaking his hand. Looking through the personnel files I see? He asked. Ellen appeared in the doorway behind him. Yes, I said, sitting down. Morris gave a nod in Ellen's direction. She stepped inside and closed the door behind her. Don't worry about me, he said jovially. If Affirmative wants me to stay, I can, but I'm also quite prepared to retire. Okay, I replied. The bosses back east would make that call, not me. Perhaps you've already noticed that we have a few special assistants on the payroll, he said evasively. Yes, I had. Just how many of them are there? I asked. Four, he answered. And it might seem that they are rather well compensated. Yeah? I replied sarcastically. I'd never seen anything like it. Mr. Edwards, he began formally, sitting down. I've run this business for a long time. I know what's the going rate for various jobs, or I wouldn't have stayed in business this long. Now I expect that when you see special assistant you think secretary, and if that's the way you look at it then they're way overpaid. But let me assure you that each of the special assistants is much more than an administrator.
Oh?
How so? I asked patronizingly. That, he smiled mysteriously, is something that you will have to see firsthand. My special assistants would like to remain employed here, and have asked if I could arrange for a forum where they can demonstrate why they have been so valuable to BBI. He talked about them like he owned them somehow.
Oh? And how will they do that?
Mr. Bauer now stood up. Let's just call that a little LA secret for now. I'm playing golf with guys from 12th National Bank this afternoon, but I'll send my private car to pick you up, say, around 3:30. I hesitated, but before I could protest, he interrupted.
Great.
I'll look forward to seeing you again this afternoon. On cue, Ellen opened the door, and he swept out. I sighed. What on earth did he have planned for me? They wanted to show why they were worth their outrageous salaries, but they couldn't do it at the office? That didn't make any sense. For a minute, I thought that perhaps something outrageously improprietous might be going on, but thought the better of it. Even in LA, that kind of thing only happened in cheesy porn movies, I thought. Yup, there were four all right. Ellen Majors, my guide. Sherry Crawford, the receptionist at the front desk. And two others I had not yet met, Joy Paging and Shauna Flanagan. With stock options, $1 million for four support staff. My mind couldn't keep thinking about what their special talents might be that Morris wanted me to know about, and the only thing my mind kept coming back around to was that porn plot thing. Cheesy soundtrack porn soundtrack music kept running through my head, becoming so insistent as to be distracting by the time 4 o'clock approached. I wasn't real happy about Morris' rendezvous, but I had to admit I was pretty tired. My day had started at 1 a.m. local time, so I guess it wasn't unreasonable to knock off a little early. I was stifling a yawn when a girl came to tell me Mr. Bauer's car was here for me. It wasn't Sherry, and while she was cute, she wasn't dressed anything like Sherry had been more normal, I would say. The fact that I was slightly disappointed by this surprised me.
Okay, I'll be right there.
I said, shutting down my computer and packing up the papers I was planning to take back to the hotel. She waited quietly and then showed me out. Mr. Bauer's private car turned out to be a vintage 1950s Rolls-Royce Silver Cloud. A chauffeur stood by the door, waiting to open it for me.
I hope this isn't a company car,
I remarked as I sat inside. A car like this was worth, what, maybe a $500,000?
No, sir,
he answered dryly.
This is Mr. Bauer's personal car.
I have to admit I was impressed. The damn thing was as quiet as a Prius as we rolled down the boulevard.
Where are we going?
I asked.
Mr. Bauer's mansion in the hills,
he remarked. Of course, where else would we go? The cheesy soundtrack playing in my head became deafening, especially with the car generating no noise of its own to counteract it. The car pulled up in the circle drive of a classic Beverly Hills mansion. This was too much. If there was an orgy in progress inside, I told myself as I walked up the steps, I'd laugh in their California faces and leave, calling a cab if I had to. I hadn't counted on Kitty. Passing between the massive columns flanking the entry, I rang the bell, expecting perhaps a butler would answer the door, given the chauffeur. Instead, the door was opened by one of the most spectacular women I have ever seen. She was beautiful, with long blonde hair and California tan. But what took my breath away was her outfit. She wore black leather halter top with matching black leather Daisy Duke shorts and platform black mules. Her tan was uniform, even in the exposed space between her impressive breasts, which made me think that perhaps she had no tan lines anywhere. The massive gold and diamond rings she wore on her left hand seemed somewhat incongruous with the rest of her look.
Hello, you must be Jack.
I'm Kitty.
She purred in a deep, sexy voice. Of course you are, suddenly feeling the need to adjust the position of my trousers.
Kitty Bauer, Morris' wife.
She continued.
Please come in.
Wife? Morris, you old crafty bastard, how did you land yourself a piece like this?
Never mind, I just got a ride in your Rolls. I know damn well how you managed it.
I didn't know.
I stumbled, unable to construct a coherent sentence because I had to censor myself from saying virtually every thought in my head.
Morris doesn't usually tell people about me ahead of time,
she announced. Clearly she'd seen this reaction before.
He says it's easier if people just meet me rather than trying to explain me.
Follow me please, Morris is waiting for you in the solarium. Her shoes clicked across the marble floors as she led me into the house. I gulped as I watched the finely toned symphony of muscles from her butt to her ankles working together as she glided across the floor in those impossibly high heels. With her back to me now, I did quickly adjust myself, giving my sudden erection some breathing room. I followed Kitty, staying far enough back to appreciate her walk while trying not to be obvious that I was staring at it. It took some time to reach the solarium at the back of the house. The solarium was a glass-walled room that overlooked the sunken pool outside. There were a number of thick, sturdy columns holding up the roof in between, matching the ones by the front entrance. Morris was standing facing the pool, barefoot, wearing a golf shirt and khaki pants that still had a few specks of grass on the cuffs. Apparently he wasn't lying when he said he was playing golf. He turned when he heard Kitty clicking up behind him.
Mr. Edwards is here,
Kitty announced matter-of-factly.
Thank you, dear,
Morris said, then reached up to kiss her. He wasn't very tall to begin with, and with those sky-high platforms she was a good 2 inches taller than he. She bent over to give him a quick kiss, but at the same time he slipped his fingers under her halter and tweaked one of her nipples. I couldn't decide if he was trying to hide his little feel, or whether he was trying to make sure that I saw it.
Please stick around, we may need your help.
Yes, dear,
she said in a tone devoid of emotion.
This is quite the house you have here, Mr. Bauer,
I said with duo.
Thank you,
he said proudly.
I have quite a nice life these days. I see you've met my wife.
He nodded in her direction. I nodded, not sure what to say. What do you say when the man whose company you just took over turns out to be married to the hottest piece of ass you've ever seen?
Nice going? Well, suffice it to say it's not always been this way, but I didn't bring you here to bore you with stories of how I clawed my way to the top.
He continued. That's good, because I was expecting that was precisely what he meant to do.
I promised my trusty assistants that I would give them the opportunity to show you why they are worth the salaries that they receive.
My thoughts had been so thoroughly sent off track by the sight of Kitty, I'd forgotten why I was here in the first place.
Ah, yes,
I answered, remembering, but I didn't see them anywhere.
What do they intend to do?
I asked guardedly.
Why don't you ask them yourself?
He replied.
They're right out here.
With that, he went to the wall of windows and opened the glass door to the pool area. He stood there holding it open, waiting for me to walk through. I paused for a second to see if Mrs. Bauer would walk through, but she was waiting for me, too. Bowing to social pressure, I went through the door next. Kitty followed. I stopped just the other side of the door, not knowing where to go. I didn't see anybody. Morris walked forward, just past one of the columns.
Now this is Shauna. You've not met her yet.
Shauna? I'd read the name in the books, but was she invisible? Confused, I took two steps forward and now saw Shauna, and understood why I'd not seen her before. She was tied to the column. Her were fully extended overhead and tied to ropes that ran around the column itself. Her ankles were likewise tied to the column, and in the middle ropes wound around her torso, holding her closely pressed against it. A cloth gag covered her mouth. She had beautiful, flame-red hair, with pale skin and freckles. She was dressed in a blouse, short-skirted business suit, and heels like I'd seen Ellen and Sherry wear. Kitty stood behind me, but was thoroughly nonplussed by the sight of a beautiful woman tied to the column as Morris.
Now Shauna, she's Irish in case you can't tell, from Boston originally.
As he talked, Morris was toying with her as if he were posing a doll, first adjusting where her hair fell, then pulling the tied-down suit jacket so that it was out of the way and her blouse showed. She watched him as he touched whatever part of her body he chose, but her expression belied neither fear nor surprise. Clearly, she was not tied here against her will.
She's got this lovely skin, but we have to make sure she's not in the sun too long, or she'll burn like a lobster.
Right. She nodded her head the little bit she could tied to the pole. As this was going on, Morris was nonchalantly unbuttoning her blouse. I was frozen as I watched Morris unbutton every button on her blouse, then pull the flaps of the blouse to the side, where pressure from the ropes kept them in place.
Plug her in, would you, dear?
He said, addressing Kitty as he pulled a small knife from his pocket. I turned away for a second to see her head back to the house, and when I looked back, Morris had cut through all of the straps on Shauna's bra and was now pulling its remains free from the ropes. In no time, her breasts were free and exposed. They had the same delicate skin and soft freckles, with pale pink nipples. Morris tweaked Shauna's nipples to make them erect. Part of my brain was screaming this was very wrong and I should leave, but instead I found myself rooted to the spot, shocked and fascinated by what I saw. Fact is, I love redheads, and Shauna was about as beautiful a redhead as I had ever seen in my book. She'd give Kitty a real run for her money. Kitty returned, carrying a wooden box. She set it down in front of Shauna, and got down one knee to open it, and I thought her ass looked dynamite when she was walking. Kitty took what was clearly a vibrator out of the box, only it was attached to a small black belt. Expertly, Kitty reached up under Shauna's short skirt, and tightened the belt around her left thigh, just below her short skirt, so that it now stayed put. Then she carefully positioned the vibrator. I guess she was making sure it touched the clitoris. Shauna's eyes closed momentarily, after which Kitty stood and picked up the box again. Apparently she'd found it. While I was watching Kitty place the vibe, I'd lost track of Morris.
Now this is Joe. I don't know that you've met her either.
I looked up and saw him standing two columns down. I felt I should talk but had nothing to say. I found myself stepping over towards where he and now Kitty stood in spite of myself.
Joy is of Asian descent, as you might have guessed, and is from San Francisco.
He narrated as he began to arrange Joy to his liking. She was a shortish and slight Asian girl, with long dark hyper-straight hair. Her hands and torso were tied to the column like Shauna had been, but unlike the redhead, she was standing on one leg, while the other was bent at the knee and tied so that it pointed upwards, greatly increasing access to her crotch. She was wearing a dress instead of a suit, and Morris was opening it down the front as he spoke, but I was too wrapped in what I was watching to hear what he was saying. Her dress opened completely down the front, allowing him to push it to the sides like Brianna's, except Joy was exposed from top to bottom. He didn't need to cut her bra off, it clasped in the front, and so he simply pushed it aside like the dress. Her breasts were small to fit her slender frame, but their brown nipples were huge. She was wearing a thong, which I realized was a stripper's thong when Morris reached for the tiny clasps on the sides. A click here and a click there, and the thong was easily removed and tossed aside. She was shaved completely bare between her legs. Kitty now brought a vibe up to Joy's crotch and began to work against her pubic bone. She turned it in circles, pressing against the folded lips there, until they began to give way. She didn't stop until the barrier became sufficiently receptive, at which time she buried the vibe almost entirely inside her pussy and left it there. Just beyond Joy's column there was a curving set of concrete stairs that led to the pool area itself. Morris was already halfway down them when he started talking again, saying,
"Now I know you've met Ellen."
I lingered for a moment, taking in sight of the pretty Asian with her leg tied up and the vibrator buzzing in her box. Then I followed at double time to catch up to Morris, by now quite interested to see how Ellen would be, displayed. I skipped down the stairs and found Ellen tied face down to the low diving board by the pool. She was actually kneeling on the cement, one leg straddling each side of the diving board, but her hands were tied to the board at their maximum reach. This position was obviously designed to highlight Ellen's tight ass. Morris had already pulled up her skirt and pulled down her thong. He was rubbing and playfully slapping the cheeks, watching the ripples in the tight muscle. Kitty clicked by me and knelt behind her. Producing a tube of lubricant, she began to work it around and into Ellen's smaller hole. Morris meanwhile reached under her to unbutton her blouse. Her jacket had disappeared somewhere along the line. When it was all the way unbuttoned, he pulled the sides free and reached under. Her body wasn't tied as tightly as the other girl's had been, but the way her knees were bound to the diving board, she wasn't going anywhere. Kitty had inserted one buzzing vibe in Ellen's pussy and now was working another into her upturned ass. Morris was playing with her tits underneath. Apparently she hadn't worn a bra at all. When she turned her head sideways, I saw that she wore a ball gag. When the second vibe nestled comfortably, if that's possible, in Ellen's backside, Morris turned and walked towards the corner of the pool deck, saying, "And last but definitely not least, we have lovely Sherry." I don't know why I hadn't noticed her before, except perhaps that that corner of the pool deck was now in shadows. There was a shaded alcove tucked under the veranda by the solarium, and like any good pool, there were reclining deck chairs lining the deck. Sherry was tied to one of them. It was laid fully flat. Sherry's thighs were tied to the armrests, and her ankles were tied together with a rope that ran under the chair, forcing her legs wide open. With her short skirt, her prominently visible thong was the focal point of attention even before Morris began to arrange her. Her wrists were secured to the top of the chair with two sets of handcuffs, and she wore a ring gag. Morris was talking again, but I wasn't hearing him. I was just watching as he undid the clips from her thigh, also the stripper variety, and tenderly stroked the hairless mound revealed. Then he deferred to Kitty as she inserted a vibe into her pussy while he unbuttoned her blouse, lovingly kissing the large, full breasts revealed underneath. I looked at Morris, and at Sherry, and it was clear that both were quite comfortable with their roles in this scenario porn movie plot or not. It was pretty clear what these girls' special talents were. I had to admire Morris' skill with a rope if nothing else. These girls were tied down but good, and then I remembered the stray grass clippings. He'd been golfing. Kitty must have been the one tying the other girls up. I gave her a sidelong glance. What else was she capable of? Morris kept talking, but rapidly and with purpose undid his belt, dropped his pants, and tossed them over another deck chair. Underneath he was wearing black leather shorts, to the masculine equivalent of those worn by his wife, you might say, and like her I had yet to see a tan line. It seemed very odd to see a man his age in bondage shorts, and even weirder when he whipped his rod out of them, straddled Sherry's face, and stuffed his dick into her throat through the opening in the ring gag. I was almost paralyzed by an internal struggle. On the one hand, there was my male nature, chomping at the bit to go on a rampage with all these beautiful women tied down in ready to fuck positions. On the other hand, there was my inner executive, screaming at me to get the hell out of here. My discomfort watching Morris face fuck Sherry turned the balance in favor of the executive, and I was about to bolt when Morris played his trump card. He turned to look over his shoulder and said to his wife, "Kitty, do help Mr. Edwards get in the mood, would you, dear?"
"Yes, dear,"
she said in monotone. "Kitty, now wait a minute." This was Mrs. Bauer. My mouth started to stammer, but now my inner Neanderthal took over as the tan, blonde goddess marched up to me. She struck a sexy pose, then nonchalantly pulled sides of her halter top back so that her breasts spilled out. They were large and round, possibly augmented but if so expertly, and perfectly tan right up to the nipple. I was spellbound by them. It occurred to me that just because she hadn't reacted didn't mean Mrs. Bauer hadn't noticed my admiration of various aspects of her, talent. She stood there for a moment, and when I didn't move, she gently reached for my arm and guided it towards her breast. She moved my hand until it was brushing her nipple. Then she moved her nipple back and forth against my fingers until I could no longer hold back my desire to feel them. I lifted my other hand to her other breast, tweaking both nipples with my fingers. They were large and firm yet soft and pliable at the same time. They were exquisite to the touch.
"Please touch them harder, sir,"
Kitty murmured.
"I like it rough."
I gulped and looked at Kitty's face, pulling a little harder on her nipples than before, but she wasn't looking at me. Her eyes were focused on my crotch, and her hands had no difficulty finding the outline of the bulge within. She stroked my through my pants while I played with her nipples. Well, technically she's not an employee, I thought. Suddenly her eyes were looking at me, intense and fierce. I was frozen for a moment by them, but she cracked a hint of a smile, and before I'd even realized what she was doing, she had my belt undone and my pants were falling to my ankles. Her hand wrapped around my penis and stroked it with practiced expertise. I gulped again and stammered,
"Aye."
Then quick as a flash, Kitty was on her knees, and my dick was disappearing between her ruby lips. "Aha" was all I could think. It felt so good when Kitty caressed me with her tongue. No surprise, this girl knew how to suck dick. She swallowed my entire length almost effortlessly, using her tongue and the roof of her mouth to great effect along the way. Involuntarily, I exhaled.
"Ugh. That's the way, Kitty darling,"
Morris commented.
"Daddy's got something for you later."
For just a second, her face cracked a hint of a smile at his promise slash threat, then, schlup, my dick disappeared into her throat again. Morris pulled his dick out of Sherry's mouth and walked up next to us, as if standing next to your wife while she sucked another man's dick was the most natural thing in the world. He patted her head affectionately.
Dear Kitty, she sure does suck a mean dick, eh? Suck a golf ball through a garden hose, that one."
She smiled at the compliment. He bent over and slapped her on the ass, and I don't mean gently, I mean hard. She responded by sucking me with even greater urgency.
"All right now, looks like you're in the spirit,"
he said cheerfully. Kitty spit my dick out and stood up.
"Pick anywhere you want, just unplug the vibrator and plug away for yourself."
Me, I'm intrigued by the predicament Ms. Joy finds herself in.
But Mr. Bauer, I said plaintively, that would be harassment.
Standing on the pool deck with my flagpole pointing at 11 o'clock just didn't seem to put me in a strong position to be arguing about harassment.
Is it?
Mr. Bauer suddenly challenged, his demeanor completely changed.
What do you know about harassment? Do you know what it takes to constitute harassment?
I was caught off guard, literally with my pants down. I guess I didn't know the precise legal definition.
I thought so, he said when I didn't answer right away. Everyone is so quick to judge when they don't even know what they're talking about. Come here, he added, motioning that I should follow him.
I hastily grabbed my pants, only having time to clasp the hook to keep them from falling as Morris strode back up to where Shauna was tied.
1. Repeated actions of a sexual nature that are unwelcome and persist in spite of requests that they cease.
He quoted matter-of-factly as he strode up to Shauna. With purpose, he strode up to her and pulled her gag out of her mouth.
What is your name? He demanded.
My name is Shauna, Master, she replied.
Do you want me to untie you, Shauna? He demanded.
No, Master, she replied.
He replaced the gag and held out his hand expectantly, like a surgeon awaiting the nurse handing him the implement she knows he will need. Kitty had somewhere picked up a riding crop and put it into his hand with a soft smack. Morris appreciatively ran his fingers along the redhead's breasts, making sure the nipples were erect. Then suddenly, smack, he slapped the riding crop across them. A little more rubbing, then smack, again, followed smack, 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 by belts down her torso. Each left a white line that only very, very slowly faded to red. Morris pulled down her gag again, and asked,
Shauna, do you want me to stop hitting you?
No, Master, she replied.
Do you want me to untie you?
No, Master.
Do you want me to remove the vibrator under your skirt?
No, Master.
He replaced the gag again, slapped each of her tits once with his bare hand, and stormed off in the direction of Joy.
Mr. Bauer, I have no doubt that these women are here of their own volition, I pleaded. But the repeated and unwanted clause need not apply if the situation is sufficiently intense. How much more intense than this can you get?
Aha, so you do know a little about harassment,
Morris said with a little satisfaction, his demeanor softening slightly.
But you are forgetting the all-important qualifier in the workplace.
Are we in the workplace?
No, not now, but...
Morris now removed Joy's gag.
What is your name? He demanded.
My name is Joy, Master,
she replied with the same serious tone as the others.
Do you want me to untie you, Joy?
He continued.
No, Master, she replied.
What do you want, Joy?
I want to be your servant, Master.
He pulled the dildo out of her pussy.
I'm going to fuck you now, is that all right, Joy? If that's what pleases you, Master, she replied.
Morris shoved his dick into her pussy ID gone soft during this argument, but it seemed to make him even harder than he had been.
Have I ever had sex with you before, Joy?
He continued as he plunged his dick into her well-oiled snatch.
Yes, Master, she answered. Have I ever had sex with you on the premises of Better Bonds, Incorporated?
He persisted.
No, Master, she answered. Have you wanted me to have sex with you on the premises of Better Bonds, Incorporated?
Yes, Master.
What do I do when you tell me you wish to have sex while we're at work? To meet you in your private office at lunch.
Morris now turned to me, still fucking Joy with her one leg tied up in the air.
Because they are on the payroll, you just assumed that I did this on the job too, didn't you? I didn't just fall off the apple cart, you know. I personally rent an office on the 7th floor of BBI's building. I never, ever have sex with anyone on BBI property, not even Kitty.
I had to admit I had made that assumption.
But still, if one of them changes her mind, she could make the case that performing sexual favors was a condition of employment.
Morris pulled out of Joy with a smile on his face. He stood at a 90-degree angle to me so that he didn't poke me with his erection and put a fatherly, patronizing hand on my shoulder.
I like you, Jack. You think things through before you act on them. That's the mark of a smart businessman. But you just don't get it yet, do you? Come here.
And he walked back down the stairs toward Ellen, who was tied ass up to the diving board. He knelt down by the board and pulled the ring gag out of her mouth.
What is your name?
My name is Ellen, Master, she answered.
Do you want me to untie you, Ellen?
He asked.
No, Master. What do you want me to do then, Ellen? I want you to fuck me up the ass, Master.
What?
Louder, she answered.
I want you to fuck me up the ass, Master. I'm sorry. I don't feel like it. Please, Master? She pleaded. Pardon? Please, Master? Please fuck me up the ass.
Say that again?
Please, Master, fuck me up the ass.
He replaced her gag and stood up, addressing me.
Now, my hearing might not be what it once was, but I'm pretty sure I just heard her beg this old man to fuck her up the ass.
I nodded in agreement.
Don't you get it? That's not the kind of thing that you turn on and off. Being whipped, and then ass fuck doesn't get you off one day, turn your stomach the next. This is goddamn inbred and these girls, they're never gonna change. I don't know how, I don't know why, but these girls, these are the real deal.
Real submissives. To the core. That's the special talent that they have, one that you can't fake. The only thing that makes them happy is if they make their master happy, and the more depraved they have to be in order to succeed, the better it makes them feel afterward. These girls are not gonna suddenly turn on you and cry harassment. These girls are happy as a clam, because I give them the two things they really need in life: a comfortably living, and a domineering master. They are not just consenting, they are appreciating adults. You can see it for yourself if these girls can't convince you with their words and their actions, I don't know what can. Now if you'll excuse me, Ellen's been very productive today, and I'd like to reward her. With that he whipped the dildo out of her ass, tossed it aside, and plunged his erection into her rectum. I could see just a hint of a smile on Ellen's face as her anus stretched to accept Morris' dick. I watched Morris ream Ellen for a few minutes. She may have been tied down to the diving board, but clearly she was enjoying it. But it felt awkward watching Morris butt fuck Ellen, and I wasn't willing to indulge myself. I started wandering slowly back up the stairs and towards the house, head spinning. This was the exact opposite of everything they taught us in business school, and yet I had found it impossible to refute Morris' arguments. He wasn't a dirty old man, scratch that, he was, but he wasn't just a dirty old man. He had thought this through thoroughly before proceeding. And the benefits, I was just passing by Joy, and she was totally open and inviting. I turned my head away quickly and continued to head slowly towards the door. My little head and my big head were engaged in a battle royale, and the big one was just barely holding the edge. I trudged past one column, and then the next. I heard a small jingling sound to my right. I turned towards the sound and found Shauna looking at me in my inner state. I'd momentarily forgotten she was there. But what struck me was the look in her eyes. Her eyes were lovely green, a perfect complement to her red hair, and there is no doubt, red hair is my weakness. She was simply gorgeous, but her eyes, they were so sad. They looked at me like someone had just run over her puppy. And the way they fixed on me, it seemed to be telling me that it was neither my leaving or my ignoring her that was making her sad. I averted my eyes, and as I did I saw the light welts on her fine porcelain skin that had been left by the crop. I don't know why, there was just something surreal about them. I found myself slowly reaching my hand towards the welt across her flat belly, wanting to touch it to see if it was raised on the skin or merely discoloration. I just barely touched it, ran my finger along it as gingerly as if it were a knife blade. Yet I could not help but feel how smooth her fine, pale skin felt. I started to withdraw my finger, when suddenly I noticed something. Shauna's nipples, which had been more or less at half-mast, had suddenly snapped to full attention. What the hell had her nipple gotten hard just from the gentle touch of my finger on her belly? Seeking to understand the meaning of this, I looked back at her face, and discovered that the expression in her eyes had changed. Where before they had conveyed sadness, they now seemed to be begging me. Please touch me. I looked back at those rock-hard nips and Morris' words about not being able to fake this kind of submissiveness rang through my head. I studied her face intently while slowly reaching for one of them. Expressively, she closed her eyes briefly with pleasure as I touched the tender pink nipple. Then she reopened them, and they still seemed to be saying the same thing, please touch me, please do whatever you want with me. I gulped and pinched her other nipple with my other hand. She responded in exactly the same way. I was completely drawn in by those eyes. I was now pawing her delicate white breasts like a hungry lion, but those eyes locked in on mine. It seemed like they were saying, I'm here to serve you. I'm only happy if my body make you happy. I don't know which was more infectious, the feeling of her breasts in my hands, or the siren's call of her eyes. All I know is I completely lost track of my surroundings, and thoughts of harassment and appropriate corporate conduct slipped further and further back in my consciousness. All I could think about was the feeling of her breasts, and the way her eyes invited me to explore further. She may have been the one tied to the column, yet she was a Venus flytrap, and I was a fly helplessly caught up in her spell. I was so wrapped up in the silent dance I didn't notice Kitty approaching until I heard a metallic sound ringing very close to my ear. Startled, I saw Kitty standing behind the column, wielding what I would call a machete. I panicked for a second as she raised it again, but her swing landed on the marble of the column with another metallic clang. At the same time, Shauna started to rapidly wriggle her wrists, and the ropes that bound them started to come free. I realized Kitty was using the knife to quickly cut through the ties binding her to the column just as there was another clang. I realized that she had been unobtrusively watching my every move. Having seen me respond to Shauna, she quickly came by to ensure that I could be properly served. Kitty may look and dress like a porn star, I thought, but I made a mental note to myself to never underestimate what she was capable of. Just then Shauna's hands came free, and the ropes around her torso fell away. With the ties still on her ankles, she dropped to her knees and reached for my waist. My pants were still held up just by the one hook I had hooked in my earlier haste to follow Morris. Before Kitty's last swing had even cut through the ropes on her ankles, my pants had fallen to my ankles and Shauna was caressing me in her mouth. Shauna wasn't quite the dick-milking machine Kitty was, but it wasn't for lack of trying. Her gag reflex was just more sensitive, and she couldn't swallow quite as much of me at once. But she was eagerly stimulating me with her tongue, and Kitty didn't have natural, flame-red hair for me to gently hold on to while her head bobbed up and down on my cock. Next thing I knew, those green eyes were looking up at me again, only this time, she was watching my face to see how I reacted to various oral stimulations. She took her hands off me for a moment, still sucking, so that she could remove her jacket and blouse. Tossing them aside, she held the base of my penis in her hands and stroked me up and down in counterstroke to the movements of her mouth. I gulped yet again. Perhaps I was wrong in my initial assessment that wasn't as effective of a dick-milking machine as Kitty. My steadily building arousal reached a plateau when Kitty returned, standing very near to me. She knelt behind Shauna and began to do something with her ankles. She didn't just pull away the now-loose rope, however she replaced it with leather ankle restraints. Apparently this was a well-practiced drill, for no sooner had Kitty slipped the second anklet off that she let go of my dick with one of her hands and held it behind her at a right angle. When she switched and did the same with the other hand, I was that she now wore a matching wrist restraint. When that was on, Kitty gently reached below Shauna's chin and wrapped a slave collar around her neck, buckling it snugly around her neck but making sure she didn't interrupt Shauna's oral activities. Finally, she unstrapped the vibrator from her leg. Then Morris appeared, walking up the stairs. He had a big smile on his face now.
So it took Shauna to break down the final wall, huh? Let me guess, you've got a thing for redheads.
I flushed slightly and shrugged sheepishly, but mostly I was entranced by this amazing blowjob.
Nothing to be ashamed of, and besides, even if you weren't, Shauna is still quite the looker, eh?
I said nothing, but she somehow seemed to smile when she heard this in spite of her mouth being stuffed full of my dick.
Stop, Shauna!
Morris suddenly said sharply, and she froze in mid-suck.
She's good, ain't she?
He said to me now.
If I didn't stop her, she'd have sucked your load right out you, and you wouldn't have a chance to try out the rest of her.
Now to her again, he ordered.
Shauna! Deck chair!
Without a word, she stood and began slowly walking towards the stairs and pool level. Morris put his arm on my shoulder, a very strange experience, considering we were both sporting full erections, and he said,
Come, now that you're getting started, see just how special these girls really are.
We walked after Shauna down the stairs. When we got back to the pool level, Shauna was standing next to the first deck chair, facing out towards the pool. She reminded me a little of a soldier at inspection, except of course that she was topless and wearing slave restraints.
Sunny side up or over easy?
Morris quipped. It took me a second to realize he was asking how I wanted Shauna to lie on the deck chair.
Sunny side up,
I said once I'd figured it out. Shauna immediately lay on her back on the flattened deck chair, holding her hands up over her head perhaps to allow me to chain them to the chair if I wanted, like Sherry. I was still pondering this when Morris interrupted.
You can't fuck her like that, tell her to open her legs. Open your legs?
I said hesitantly. It came out sounding like a question rather than an order. She parted her thighs a few inches. Smack, Morris playfully punched me in the arm.
Not like that, you dolt, like you're a drill sergeant. Or like she owes you money. Open your legs,
I repeated with much more conviction, and added as an afterthought.
And pull up your skirt.
She reached for her skirt and pulled it up to her waist. Then as she put her hands back over her head, she drew in her knees and parted her thighs as far as possible.
There you go,
Morris said approvingly.
Now give her what she deserves, the dirty slut. You know she wants it.
I was not used to this rough stuff, but my dick was still so hard from having been this close to coming in Shauna's mouth that sheer lust took over. I nailed her with such lust that I swear the deck chair lifted off the ground on the upstrokes. She loved at the pale skin of her neck and above her breasts flushed pink with excitement. I was fucking her like a madman when I became cognizant of Morris standing closer to me than he had been. I looked his direction. Now that he had my attention, he handed me a tube of lubricant.
You might like to know that Shauna loves it up the ass even more than Ellen does.
I glanced down at Shauna below me. Her face was a combination of slight embarrassment with a variation of that earlier look of invitation. She had a look like a little girl that had been caught doing something very, very naughty, and the only way out the tight spot she was now in was to do it again. All right, I'm game, I thought. I wasn't sure just how to go about lubing her butthole, then realized I didn't have to.
Shauna!
I ordered, holding out the tube.
Lube your ass!
She sat up for a moment to take the tube, poured out a generous amount, then positioned her legs on the chair so that she could lift her butt. She then worked the lube around her butt crack, then pressed first one finger and then two into the tight hole.
Are you gonna flip her around?
Morris asked. He had retreated to Kitty's side. I noticed her hand was inside her pants, masturbating, and Morris had his hand slipped under the halter and was playing with her tits.
Shauna! Grab your ankles!
I commanded. She immediately pulled her hand out of her own butt and grabbed her ankles, spreading her legs wide.
I really prefer them sunny side up,
I commented to Morris as I repositioned myself between her thighs. Then I helped her roll her legs up a bit more than she had them, curling her spine and thus making her ass more accessible. I lined up the shot and sank it. I was hard as an iron rod, and thanks to the lube, even the tightness of her sphincter could not deter my penetration. I made a few tentative strokes, feeling my way around, plumbing the depths you might say, before once again letting it rip. Shauna's breathing became labored as her excitement grew. I was about as excited as I could get already, fucking the ass of this beautiful redhead. I slowed for a second, pulling back to watch my dick disappearing into her butthole. My attention was diverted by her pussy, however, which had gone from a delicate pink to an almost angry red as her excitement increased. It was sitting there, dripping wet and gaping, but unused. It seemed a damn shame, so I decided to do something about it. I moved my hands to her the bottom of her thighs, then thrust each thumb out towards the middle. The met up right on either side of the clit. Pushing gently, I had her clit lightly pinched between my thumbs. Now when I went back to fucking her ass full tilt, I simultaneously twitched my thumbs back and forth on her clit. Shauna was going fucking nuts, and I loved it. She let go of her ankles, but I didn't mind. She put her feet on the armrests of the deck chair and held her ass up to better accommodate my penetrating. I saw her gulp, roll her head, close her eyes. She was fighting to not make noise, but a few squeaks escaped. I've never been so turned on in my life.
God damn it, you hot little slut, you are gonna come, I thought.
I was just about there myself, but held off by concentrating on my thumbs working her clit.
Come on, you little slut, come! Come for me!
I growled, still relentlessly pounding her ass. Shauna looked at me with eyes as big as saucers. She swallowed hard once, and then a few seconds later her thighs locked up, lifting her torso even higher off the chair. With an hi. Her body was rocked by orgasms. My dick could feel the spasms racking her body from its position deep in her colon. The whole chair seemed to shake from the little earthquakes inside her. The glow in her face made her even more beautiful.
That's right, come for daddy.
I snarled. I was surprising myself with just how into this I was getting. She returned to her previous position to receive my thrusts, but I rolled her over onto her side. I shoved my dick back into her ass, with one hand on her butt cheek and the other cupping a breast. It didn't take very much of that before I was the one tensing up, filling her ass with spurt after orgasmic spurt of semen.
Shauna, clean up on aisle 3!
I heard Morris say from somewhere to my right. Quick as a flash, Shauna sat up and tenderly cleaned all of the juices off of my dick with her mouth and her tongue. I became aware of noises to my right, and found they were coming from Kitty, who was standing but bent over, holding onto a different deck chair, shorts now down around her ankles. Morris was standing on a low drink table, putting him at just the right height to plow his wife from behind in her heels. From the angle of his attack, I guessed he was driving the Hershey Highway, too. I was soft now, spent from my intense orgasm, but Shauna dutifully continued to suck me. I'm not sure why, but I couldn't help myself. I grabbed her red hair, pulled her head away from my dick, pressed my lips against hers. I thought perhaps she would reject my kiss, maybe because that's what like the girls in the porn videos do, and that was my closest point of reference for what was happening. In reality, fact, she kissed back strongly. I guess that if the master wants you kiss him, you kiss him. I heard Morris grunt, and I knew he must be dumping his load into Kitty's rectum. There were some other deck chairs that were folded up into a sitting position. I let go of Shauna and sat in one. For someone that tends to not even like locker rooms, it was strange that I wasn't uncomfortable sitting next to Mr. Bauer's pool without any pants on. A few minutes later, Morris was sitting in a chair next to me.
I suppose you're wondering how BBI came to employ these girls.
Morris mused. The thought had occurred to me.
It all started with Kitty, and a little misunderstanding. She was looking for a bondage supply store that had a similar name, and looked up our address by mistake. We had been looking for an administrative assistant for 8 months and had 2 openings on staff. I happened to be at the front desk when she came in, looking perplexed and mumbling that she had the wrong address. I was recently divorced at the time, and I was all too eager to hire a beautiful secretary for the wrong reasons. It depends, I asked, are you looking for investments? Or perhaps a job? She told me that's not why she had come here, but she was in need of a job. I interviewed her right then, and she turned out to be adequately capable, and of course she looked like $1 million, so I hired her. At that point Kitty returned, shorts now back on, carrying 2 drinks on a tray.
Thank you, Kitty. I hope gin and tonic is all right?
That will be fine, thank you.
I answered, taking a hearty sip as I was thirsty after all that physical activity. It must have been damn good, expensive gin, because it made my head swim right away but was smooth as butter going down. A few months later, Morris continued. As I became more comfortable with her, I asked her what she had really come here looking for that day. She asked if I really wanted to know. The way she asked the question, well, I started getting a rise right then and didn't even know why. I said sure. Next day she asked to work late. After everyone else but me left, she comes into my office wearing the tiniest skirt I'd ever seen, with slave collar and cuffs. I didn't even know there was an LA bondage scene, or I'd have named the business something else. But I soon learned that Kitty was part of it, and that's what she'd been looking for that fine day. At first we just role-played, then she wanted me to be her regular master. I relished the part, and within months I married her, but that left me without a secretary again. That's when Kitty suggested she could recruit a replacement from among the girls in the bondage scene if the price was right. I ended up hiring Ellen as her replacement. Word got out that beautiful submissives could get a good job and the discipline they craved working at Better Bonds. We didn't hire every applicant, of course, but we created positions for those that left a lasting impression. At the moment there are 4 special assistants, although there have been as many as 6.
Unbelievable,
I said and ended.
And yet it's true,
Mr. Bauer countered. He snapped his fingers, and suddenly 2 girls appeared, dropped to their knees in front of our chairs, and began trying to arouse our dicks from their naps. Joy was sucking Morris, but having noted my preferences, Shauna remained assigned to me. I watched and smiled a little at the lovely redhead again caressing my penis. Briefly, our eyes made contact, and she flashed her eyebrows at me as if to say,
"That was awesome. You are so the man. Please do that to me again."
But she quickly turned her attention to servicing my member, and Morris continued,
"So, have you decided what to do with our special assistants?"
"That's not quite so simple,"
I answered.
"You've convinced me of their value, but in order to keep them on staff we'll have to get it past my boss, too. He'll be even harder than I to convince, but I think I know the way to do it. It'll have to be a bit different than this setup. Here's what we do.
My boss' name is Jack Thurston. Because it's confusing to have 2 Jacks and just 2 military to call us Thurston and Edwards, everyone calls me Jack but my boss JT.
Hey JT, it's Jack,"
I said into the receiver of my Crackberry from the offices of BBI the next day.
"Oh, hi Jack, how are things coming at BBI? Have you figured out why their expenses are so high?"
"Some of it, and that's why I've called you, JT,"
I replied.
"There are 4 special advisors on staff here. They make a lot of money, but in talking with Mr. Bauer he's got me coming around to thinking that maybe their special talents are worth keeping in spite of their salaries. But it's going to look weird on the balance sheet, so I want you to come out here, meet with them and decide for yourself."
"Meet with them? Can't you just arrange a conference call?"
JT retorted.
"No, you really should see what they do firsthand."
I said evasively, then pulled on the string I knew he couldn't resist.
Plus, you should know it's 30 degrees warmer here than in New York, and Mr. Bauer is a member of the Beverly Hills Country Club.
All right, you convinced me. He grunted. It was no secret among higher-level managers that you could get JT to travel almost anywhere if there was 18 holes waiting for him on the other side. The 4 times 3 is equal to 12 other holes that would be available to him would be a complete surprise. Fortunately, we had spent a lot of time on the road together, and I had a pretty good idea what he liked in that realm as well. I hung up while JT's secretary worked on arrangements. In the meantime, I went up to the 7th floor, and Mr. Bauer's personal office, which he had been nice enough to lend me a key for. When I had passed the front desk on the way in that morning, Sherry had passed me a note. And it was a hand drawing of a woman that looked a lot like her bent over a conference table, and getting reamed by a guy that looked a little like me. I decided to take her up on it. 3 days later, Mr. Bauer and I were both at the airport to meet JT when he arrived. I made the introductions and walked with them to Mr. Bauer's Rolls, but after making sure everything was loaded, I left them to go play golf. I would hail a cab and head out to the Bauer mansion.
You're not coming along?
JT asked.
No, you know I'm not big on golf, JT.
I answered.
I'll see you at Mr. Bauer's house later, and you can meet the special assistants.
I went to the mansion, knowing I'd have about 6 hours before they'd be back. I swam a bit and lay out by the pool, naked, next to an equally naked kitty. She was amazingly hot, but I left her alone. I didn't think I should fuck Mrs. Bauer with Mr. Bauer being here to give permission. Besides, I'd have plenty of chances to get my rocks off before the day was out. The other girls arrived about 3 hours before I expected JT's return. I carefully instructed them in the choreography of the scenario I thought would be too much for JT to resist. With extra time to kill, I then dumped a load between Shauna's legs and another up Ellen's ass. I was sitting in the huge sunken living room when we heard the front door open and two voices in the distance. Kitty quickly got up to intercept them. She was wearing a tiny black leather miniskirt, a black leather bra, and knee-high bondage boots.
Hi, honey.
I heard her say, not in her flat, slave-taking-orders voice but like any wife might welcome her husband home if she was glad to see him.
Hi, sweetie, J.T., this is my wife, Kitty.
I heard Morris say. I had to fight to keep from busting out laughing as I imagined him standing there, mouth open and unable to speak as I had been when first meeting Mrs. Bauer.
Kitty, darling, would you get us some drinks while we talk?
I heard.
Yes, dear.
I heard the clicking of her boots fade in the distance, while Morris and J.T. now appeared in view around a corner. I was sitting on the far left side of the couch, shuffling papers. Looking up, nonplussed, I asked.
So how was golf?
Great, Morris said equally nonchalantly.
Your boss is quite a player.
JT's eyes were big like deer in headlights. He was trying to mouth something about Kitty, but I continued to act as if this were completely ordinary.
Here, come look at this,
I said, picking up the papers next to me and opening the middle seat for JT.
It's the personnel papers on the special assistants. Head still somewhat swimming, he sat next to me, as we had hoped he would, and Morris bookended him on the couch.
He started to look at the first file when the clicking sound returned, and Kitty returned with a tray of drinks. As she passed them out, I commented. The papers don't really tell the story, though. You really need to meet them. They're down in the West Wing, but let me see if any of them can hear us.
Joy.
Ellen?
Sherry?
I shouted.
That was Sherry's cue. We heard her heels clicking on the marble floors in the distance. Gradually, she appeared. She was dressed much as when I had first seen her in a colorful business suit with a skirt that was north of appropriate but south of scandalous, bare tan legs, pumps. Her look was actually pretty common and L.A. Morris was telling JT about her, while I was doing my best to secretively watch his reactions. I saw him raise one eyebrow slightly and his eyes ran up and down the length of her legs, but there wasn't anything particularly unusual about her yet.
Did you see any of the others? Morris asked.
Yes, I saw Ellen. She was just coming in from the pool.
I can go get her. Sherry answered.
Please do,
he replied. We all took long hits on our cocktails as the sound of her heels receded in the distance. JT gave me a quick eyebrow nod, guy code 4. Did you see that? I pretended not to notice the sign. I knew he hadn't seen anything yet. The sound of Sherry's heels now got louder again as she came with Ellen. Ellen looked like she had just come in from the pool. Her curly brown hair was damp, and she wore a half shirt over a bikini top that was still wet. Consequently, the half shirt stuck to the wet bikini, producing a result reminiscent of a wet t-shirt contest, except that there were too many layers of fabric to clearly make out the outline of her nipples. She also wore Daisy Duke shorts and flip-flops, displaying her mile-long legs. Her tan, toned belly provided stark contrast to the silver ring in her navel. Ellen came forward, apologizing about just coming in from the pool, while Sherry lingered behind and nonchalantly pulled up next to Kitty, who was standing off to the side. Morris started talking about Ellen's strengths. I had to hand it to the old man. He could bullshit with the best of them. But as he prattled on, the real show was just beginning. Kitty silently began to rub Sherry's back, then played with her hair. Suddenly, Kitty began kissing her, and in no time the two were exchanging tongues. JT had been staring at various aspects of Ellen's tan, but eventually he noticed Kitty and Sherry out of the corner of his eye. He did a double take, looked at Morris, who was pretending to be oblivious, and elbowed me in the ribs. I looked up, and he nodded with his head in their direction to call my attention to them. I made a point to look in their direction, then smile politely and nod like this sort of thing happened all the time, and went back to my papers. Kitty meanwhile had just about finished unbuttoning Sherry's blouse and was sticking her hand underneath,
obviously feeling her breasts. Sherry, in turn, was reaching for Kitty's crotch under her micro-mini. JT turned back to look, then forced himself to turn away lest he draw attention to it. He looked at Morris again, who continued bullshitting, to see if he saw what was happening. Then he turned to me, but I was pretending to be engrossed in paperwork. He thought he was the only one seeing this happening. He had no idea that this entire scene had been carefully choreographed. Kitty had both her hands under Sherry's jacket now, and Sherry had her finger under Kitty's skirt. JT and I had been on a lot of business trips together and consequently at least a few gentlemen's clubs. One of the two things I knew he seemed to like based on those experiences was girl-girl action, and so in spite of himself he couldn't stop watching the two girls les out. Just then Joy burst in, as planned. She was in fact coming in from the pool, still wet, wearing a bikini and a too small towel wrapped around her waist.
"Oh, Joy."
Mr. Bauer called her over. "Come here and meet Mr. Thurston."
"But I just came in from the pool,"
she protested.
"It's all right, you can dry off in a minute. Just come over here and say hi," he coaxed.
She played the shy Asian very well, pretending to be embarrassed by her state of undress. Since the first time I met her, she had her legs tied open and dildo in her cunt. Her embarrassment was all acted. Morris began to bullshit about Joy. Ellen, no longer center stage, wandered over to Kitty and Sherry. JT's attention was diverted to Joy for a second, but when he peeked back over in the girl's direction, Ellen had joined them. Kitty's leather bikini top had been loosened, and Sherry and Ellen each had a hand groping one of her breasts. At the same time, Kitty's one hand was still in Sherry's blouse, while the other was rubbing her crotch through her shorts. JT elbowed me again, hard. He nodded in the girl's direction, more insistently, frowning. I looked over again, then shrugged nonchalantly. But JT was looking at me funny now. It was not the Jack he knew that would be unfazed by this display.
"You know JT,"
I began. "Mr. Bauer has been in this business a long time, and he knows an awful lot of ins and outs in great detail. I've already learned a great deal about municipal bond trading. And other things too, you know, sometimes it's right there in front of you, and yet you still can't see it until someone points it out. Take sexual harassment, for instance. I was always taught that it's a real general thing and almost anything can get you in trouble. In fact, it's a very precisely defined thing. To be harassment, one of two conditions must be met. One, advances of a sexual nature must be unwanted, persistent, and the individual involved must be given warning of their unwanted nature."
Right on cue, Joy walked right up to Morris.
"Mr. Bauer, sir, may I please suck you now?"
"What?
Not now, Joy," he pretended to protest.
"Please, sir.
I really want to suck your dick now," she pleaded plaintively.
"But Joy,"
he whispered as if we weren't there.
"Our guests from New York are here. I don't mind, they can watch if they like,"
she answered.
"I just really need to taste you right now."
He didn't say yes per se, but he didn't say no, so she dropped to her knees and in no time her dark Asian hair, still damp, was bobbing up and down in his lap.
Now see, nothing Morris just did qualifies as harassment. In fact, as defined in the law, if anyone was harassing, it was Joy,
I continued.
"Now there's a second condition if the harassment is severe enough and it threatens one's continued employment. That's where Morris was such a genius. No matter how badly they beg, he never touches any of his employees on company grounds, and their employment is not dependent on their consent. They do that just because they want to. If one of them really wants a little discipline on her break, he simply takes them to an office he rents in his own name."
As I was talking, the three girls stopped groping each other long enough to walk back to the space in front of the sofa. Sherry laid down on the floor, bending and parting her legs so that we could see right up her skirt to her thong, while Kitty and Ellen gently unbuttoned her blouse. When they were done, they peeled the sides away and each began to suck on one of her tits. Sherry laid her arms over her head and closed her eyes with pleasure.
"Your man, Jack, he's good,"
Morris said while Joy continued sucking his dick. "Looking out for the company all the time. He thought of all kinds of reasons why we shouldn't be doing this as if I hadn't thought of them all myself. I finally convinced him that I've been around for a long time, and I wouldn't be doing this if I wasn't sure it wouldn't come back and bite the company. Even after I convinced him, he still was ready to walk away. There was just one thing he couldn't resist."
"And what's that?"
JT asked, half sourly, half angrily.
"Shauna,"
Morris called. Clicking sounds came from down the far wing of the mansion. After a time, Shauna appeared in view. She was wearing a three-quarter-length green and black strapless corset with matching thong, and a slave collar, bracelets, and anklets. The second thing I knew that JT had a weakness for was redheads, just like me. It had made it easy at strip clubs when we were on the road. One of us bought a lap dance from the best redhead in the joint, and the other got the benefits of the show. I saw JT gulp when she appeared in view. She was stunning, and he was frozen by her appearance. Shauna's stiletto stopped clicking right by Sherry's head. Kitty and Ellen now turned their attention to her. They began by running their hands up and down her smooth calves, and then thighs. Kitty's fingers disappeared under the thong for a second, but then reappeared. Both girls slowly stood as their hands worked their way now over the strip of flat belly showing under the corset, then higher up. Eventually Ellen's hand disappeared under the cup in the corset, playing with Shauna's breast, while at the same time locking lips with her and swapping tongues. Kitty, meanwhile, pulled the cup on her side down and out of the way, flashing the breast, teasing it with her tongue, fully in our view.
"Ah, yes, Shauna,"
Morris sighed.
"Beautiful, isn't she? And if redheads are your thing, well, you see that lovely white skin?"
JT nodded in spite of himself, drawn like a moth to a flame.
As Morris talked, Sherry quietly got up from the ground to her knees, came over to me, and without a word loosened my fly and began sucking my dick. When she first came to work for us, she was black and blue from neck to ankles. This master she had, he was beating her senseless. This beautiful creature, and he was beating her so badly it was leaving permanent marks. Kitty and Ellen cooperatively undid the stays on the subject of the conversation's corset until it fell to the floor. Ellen continued to soul kiss her while gently pinching her nipples, while Kitty pulled aside her thigh and her fingers disappeared into Shauna's Brazilian waxed crotch. I have no doubt that if she hadn't come to work for us giving her the financial independence she needed to break free and find a better master, she would have been at minimum permanently disfigured, perhaps even dead. You see, these girls, we only hire them if they're true submissives, not just play acting. These girls need to be ordered around. Then, as if to demonstrate, he ordered, Joy, clean Sherry's asshole. Joy dutifully moved over Sherry, on all fours. JT did a quick double take when he realized she had my dick in her mouth. He hadn't noticed her come over to me, but I remained nonchalant. Joy lifted Sherry's skirt, pulled her thong down to her knees, pulled her ass cheeks apart, and began rimming her sphincter clean. You see, I'm doing these girls a favor. They're damn near helpless if someone tells them to do something. Something inside them makes them comply. The world is fucking dangerous for someone like that. I make it possible for them to get on in life. And of course, they do favors for me in exchange for the favors I do for them. Joy, suck me again. She started to crawl back over. And take off that wet swimsuit. He added as an afterthought. Joy paused by his knees, reached behind her to untie her top, then at the sides untied the bottom. Tossing both aside, she swallowed Mr. Bauer's cock, naked as a jaybird. Morris then poked JT in the ribs, saying, Watch this. Then he grasped hold of Joy's head firmly with both hands. Then he thrust his hips forward while simultaneously pressing down on her head, forcing his cock deeply into her throat. As he forced himself down her gullet, she looked up at him, eyebrows raised, with a face that showed no alarm but rather seemed to say, How can I better please you, master? All at once her gag reflex triggered, and she bent forward to expel the offending object. Morris let go of her head and allowed her to spit him out and catch her breath, which took maybe 5 seconds. As soon as the gag passed, she swallowed him again, trying to force him down her throat on her own, looking up at his to say, I'm sorry, master, please pleasure yourself with my throat again. Morris grabbed her head again and pushed until his balls were touching Joy's lower lip. Then her gag triggered again, and he let her go again. This time when she re-swallowed him, he grabbed her hair, not gently but not aggressively either, and pushed her head up and down. She understood she was to resume sucking him, which she did. You see, Morris explained. You can't fake that. This isn't a porn shoot where she's got to put up with it to earn her paycheck. She's letting me gag her with my dick just because I want to, and whatever I want she wants. You have to have a mindset where your only interest is to satisfy your master, and any pain or discomfort you endure to achieve that just makes it that much more satisfying when the master is successfully pleasured. Oh, I suppose I could use a lot more chains and restraints and stuff. He continued, tenderly caressing Joy's straight black hair as she continued to administer a first-rate blowjob. I just don't need to. Then as if to prove it, he said. Girls, chain Shauna down, please. Ellen moved to pick up a nearby ottoman while Kitty fetched handcuffs and rope from a drawer. Shauna got down on all fours over the ottoman, but facing the sofa. Kitty and Ellen proceeded to cuff her wrists to the ottoman, then tied her thighs to the other legs, immobilizing her. Kitty, show Shauna who's boss. Morris commanded. Kitty picked up a riding crop and began to sweat Shauna's upturned cheeks. Her thigh disappeared into her but cracked like a strand of dental floss, providing no protection whatever from the blows. JT's mouth started to move, but no words came out. His gaze was transfixed by beautiful Shauna's being spanked. I knew exactly how he felt. Morris let Kitty sweat Shauna for several minutes, until there was a fine zebra-like pattern of red stripes showing against her pale, white porcelain skin. Okay, Kitty, Mr. Thurston needs a little help getting into the mood. Yes, Moss, I mean, yes, dear. She monotoned. She put down the crop and began to kneel before JT. Ellen, please reward Shauna for her suffering. Morris further commanded. Yes, master. She replied flatly. JT's face took on a look bordering on panic. Did Morris just command his wife to suck his dick? It was one thing, I suppose, to let another girl suck his dick while your wife watched, but the thought of sitting next to a man while his wife wrapped her lips around his dick was just too freaky. I put my hand on his shoulder gently, saying, Don't worry, she doesn't work for BBI anymore. On the other side, Morris elbowed him again, half whispering, Just wait, you won't believe how far she can deep throat you. Then he gave him a friendly smile and a wink, and nodded in Kitty's direction. JT's mouth moved up and down like a muppet, but no words came out. Kitty, meanwhile, had already undone his belt and just finished undoing his zipper. She paused for a second to pull her bikini top over her head and toss it aside, allowing her generous breasts to hang freely. Then she reached into his pants, having no trouble finding the fully grown monster inside. Even though JT wasn't doing anything to assist her, she nonetheless took mere seconds to free his dick from his boxer. She was well practiced at the art, I was sure. No sooner had she freed it than, slurp, it was gone, tenderly ensconced in the warm wetness of her mouth. Ah! He said in spite of himself as he felt her tongue rubbing the sensitive underside of his meat. Finally, he adjusted his sitting position to allow more of his dick to be reached, and schlup, she swallowed the rest just as effortlessly. You'll have a hard time getting that one to gag, right, honey? Morris asked. She looked up for just a second,
raising her eyebrows in acknowledgement, then turned her eyes and her attention back to her work. Morris lovingly stroked her hair, then ran his hand along her cheek, neck, and down to her breast. He held the breast he could reach in his cupped hand for a moment, gently pinching the nipple between his first two fingers and rubbing them to tease it. Her breasts are so smooth.
Go ahead, feel one, Morris offered.
JT was still hesitant, even with Kitty's lips wrapped around his dick, but they were awful enticing hanging there, and in spite of his reservations slowly reached for one. She looked up for just a moment when he touched her breast, then refocused her eyes on his knob. Once he touched them, it was as if his hand were glued to it, for he would not let it go, kneading it in his hand and tweaking the nipple. His posture noticeably relaxed. He was resigned, now, to receiving this blowjob.
Good work, Ellen, I now said.
I knew JT had lost track of Shauna, and that he would like watching what was going on. He looked up to find the Ellen had pulled Shauna's thong down to her knees and inserted a vibrator into her pussy. With her thumb, she rolled little circles right on top of her clit, under the vibe. At the same time, she gently kissed the stripes left behind by the crop. In my peripheral vision, I could see JT's eyes lock in Ellen's thumb and Shauna's pussy. Even from where we sat, Ellen's thumb glistened with moisture from Shauna's secretions. He was so drawn in that although he still held Kitty's tit in his hand, he'd stopped moving it. She peered up at him for a second to encourage him to resume feeling her up, but he didn't even notice. She gave up and continued with her work.
Ellen, please lube and prep her, then untie her, I commanded.
Ellen nodded. The tube seemed to appear out of nowhere, and Ellen expertly squeezed out an amount and began to work it around Shauna's butt. Once the outer surface was slippery, she pushed one finger and quickly a second into her sphincter, darting it in and out to expand the opening for penetration by a larger object. When the two fingers met minimal resistance, she pulled the vibe out of Shauna's pussy and began to push it against her anus. It was gently tapered along its length, perfect for gradually stretching the opening. She stepped up the circling of her thumb against her clit while pushed the vibrator against and increasingly up into her ass. Not without some reluctance, I pushed against Sherry's forehead, indicating that she should stop sucking my dick. She pulled back and knelt upright, knowing where I was headed. I slid off the couch and positioned myself behind Shauna's tight open thighs. I decided I wasn't even going to visit the pussy. I was diving straight for her ass, of course. They didn't know that a couple of hours before, I'd already spent plenty of quality time inside that vagina.
That's the way, Jack, Morris encouraged. You know how much she loves it up the ass. Right, Shauna?
Yes, master, she breathed, sounding nearly orgasmic already.
I pulled out the vibrator that was sticking out of her sphincter and quickly shoved my dick into the space before it closed up. Her anus gripped me tightly, satisfyingly. I began to thrust in and out. Her butthole gripped me, but she was well lubricated and could not repel my repeated, forceful insertions even if she had wanted to.
Sherry, come here and masturbate for us, Morris commanded.
Sherry stood up and walked around behind the ottoman where I was ass-fucking Shauna, knowing that she should not walk within the sight lines JT was watching intently, and seemingly hadn't blinked for 5 minutes. She sat on the floor behind Joy and next to Ellen. She tossed aside the suit jacket, allowing her blouse to freely fall open as she leaned slightly back. She rubbed her own nipples between her thumb and index fingers, then lifted her skirt up past her hips. She slid her thong down to her ankles with the smooth, practiced grace of a stripper, then pulled on leg out of them while leaving them sexily but pointlessly dangling from the other. Spreading her legs wide, she leaned back on one elbow while rubbing her smooth vulva with the other. She rubbed her own clit, then started to force her labia apart with her fingers like a centerfold model, giving the men on the sofa something to watch. Morris' attention was split between the two shows, but JT probably didn't even know she was there, for all he could watch was Shauna. I half stood over her, not necessarily the most comfortable fuck position but one that allowed JT to see under me and view Shauna's dripping snatch, tragically underutilized as I plunged into my dick into her ass. Ellen, trying to be as unobtrusive as possible, was in the meantime carrying out the last of my orders. She had unlocked Shauna's cuffs, to which she responded by propping herself up slightly on folded elbows. One side effect, intended I would bet, was that her breasts hung free and JT could just see their sides as they rebounded back and forth in response to my penetrations. It was somewhat harder to try to untie her thighs, and after some trying she got smart, she simply lifted the ottoman and slid the ropes down and off the legs of the furniture. This in turn made them suddenly slack. I paused for a second as Shauna slipped the ropes off like old knee pads, then she bent over the ottoman again and I repenetrated her ass.
JT, you really should try it. I know you like red hair as much as I do,
I commented, running my fingers through the long red hair lying on her back for emphasis. She turned her head slightly, a small smile on her face, as it seemed she always did when she received a compliment with regard to her fuckability.
But I,
he stammered. It still felt wrong to him, but the mere fact that he was now able to find words told me that, as I would have expected, that was what he really wanted. And since I had already clearly crossed that line, I pulled out and said,
go ahead, just lie down.
Kitty responded by stopping her sucking but removing JT's shoes for him. Shauna, still on all fours, turned around to face him, giving him one of those pleading,
please give me your dick, master,
faces I found myself unable to refuse. Kitty gently pulled on his arm, and he slid to the floor.
Just lie on your back, she'll take care of you, I instructed.
Tentatively, he lay on his back parallel to the sofa, and as he did, Shauna pounced on his cock like a cat on a mouse. Her green eyes looked up at him with that bewitching gaze. He returned her eye contact,
watching as his penis disappeared into her pretty face. Right next to his right ear, Sherry, who had masturbated herself into a frenzy, was now engaged in an intense 69 with Ellen, but he was oblivious to it, so rapt was he by Shauna. I let her get a good start on his dick, then I came up to her from behind again. She had left her thighs wide apart while she sucked JT, leaving the back door open, you might say. I was careful not to fuck her too intensely, as I didn't want to hinder her ability to blow my boss, but I nailed her ass nonetheless. I peeked around Shauna's head at JT, and the look in his eyes told me he was close to getting off. So I yet again pulled out, ordering, "Shauna, sit on Mr. Dustin." Without a word, she raised up her head, placed one of her heels on either side of his hips, and squatted herself down to lower herself on this erection. With a minimum of aligning, she easily impaled herself on his cock. She lifted herself up and down, kind of like modified squats, to fuck his dick with her pussy. He was so turned on by now, though, that he couldn't help but forcefully push back against her so hard, it was knocking her off the precarious balance she maintained on her ultra-high heels. So she moved to her knees instead. Now her movement were more like sliding than up and down, but JT's frenzied thrusting more than made up the difference. She bent over slightly, running her hands lightly on his chest. He returned the favor, only his touch wasn't so light as he grasped hungrily at her tits and their pale pink nipples. I sat there, masturbating, watching Shauna and JT, then Sherry and Ellen. Morris now gently brushed Joy away so that his wife could deep-throat him. She went over to make the girl-girl grope fest into a threesome. I could have called her over to service me, but didn't want to interrupt and delay the imminent climaxes. As I watched Shauna slide back and forth on JT's prick though, I had an idea. I moved right behind Shauna, balancing on my feet in a deep knee bend like she had done moments earlier, so that I wouldn't make guy-guy contact with JT's legs and freak him out. I touched her back gently to hold her still for a moment, while I re-entered her ass for the fourth time. I peeked out from behind her head for a second, quipping, "Share and share alike, JT." It was an inside joke we often spent time in sports bars after hours while on the road, and if one of us would see an exceptionally attractive woman, we'd point her out to the other. We'd argue over who'd get to fuck her, to which JT would always say, "Share and share alike, you take the bottom and I'll take the top." Of course, the only double penetrating that ever took place was on the pay-per-view movies back in our rooms later. Now we were doing it for real, except he was on the bottom and I was on the top. Shauna sighed in spite of herself as I pushed past the sphincter. Once I was in, JT and I both let it rip and Shauna went insane. She arched her back, holding her hips in place while we each separately fucked her respective holes. She had to stay still so that neither of us slipped out of our orifice. But that didn't mean it wasn't mind-blowingly pleasurable. The position she held to accommodate us both caused JT's dick to rub against her clit on every in and out like a balancello. Her red hair cascaded down her arched back, and her breasts were thrust outwards, making them appear even larger. JT pinched her nipples between his fingers and refused to let go as he fucked her box. Her eyes were open and pointed roughly towards the ceiling, but she was paying no attention to what she might be seeing. She was overwhelmed by pleasurable sensations racing up her spinal cord. Her pretty mouth hung open, as she was too rapt to notice and close it. I had to admit, it made me feel pretty studly to make a girl feel that good, and I wasn't even on the side that could see her face. With sensations so intense, and after so much stimulation already, none of us could not hold back our orgasms much longer. We actually came in waves. JT came first, filling Shauna's box from underneath. Feeling his dick ejaculating inside her, combined with my pounding of her ass, made Shauna climax. She nearly screamed with pleasure as her body was shaken to the core by intense orgasm. And feeling those shudders from the inside while buried in her colon pushed me over the top. I quickly reached around, grabbed her tits, and held her while my dick pulsed again and again, filling her backside with even more semen. She responded by reaching back behind her blindly and touching the back of my head, holding me in place as much as I did her until my ejaculation ceased. As my senses returned to the world around me, I realized we had an audience. Everyone else in the room was watching us double penetrating Shauna, and it was getting them all off. Kitty was perched on Morris' lap, with his dick up her own ass. He must have blown his own wad, for Kitty stopped pumping up and down on him, but he kept furiously rubbing her clit with both hands wrapped around from behind until she began to shudder. And the other three girls were all in a line, rubbing themselves furiously, as they watched us damn near split Shauna in two. I collapsed on the floor, while JT remained on his back and Morris on the sofa. But without needing orders, as soon as Kitty's orgasm passed, she was up and fixing a new round of drinks. When she's around, Kitty does seem to usually end up on the receiving end of Morris' little fishies, I thought. End is the right word, to as many loads as he dumps into her, but she must shit milky white. When Kitty came back with the drinks, the girls all got up, telling us to meet them down in the rec room in 5 minutes. When we got there, all four of them were naked, on all fours, with their asses freshly lubed up. JT and I did them in a line, fucking one ass for a while then moving on the next. JT ended up dumping a load in Shauna's other hole, while I filled Joy's bunghole with jizz. Morris didn't take part. He lay Kitty on her back on the pool table, and was fucking her senseless while she held her ankles high over her head. Which of her holes he was fucking, I couldn't tell you. JT took one more spin, yet that night I had mentioned offhandedly that poor Sherry was the only girl that hadn't taken a load up the ass, counting Ellen's reaming before they'd arrived, and he, quipping that all employees should be treated equally, made sure that she too received her allotted load of cum. It was late by the time that was done, and even though we'd paid for hotel rooms, we agreed to stay in Morris' mansion that night. That meant that in the morning we got breakfast in bed,
and then some, from the special assistants, all wearing maid uniforms. Well, maybe I'll tell that story some other time. The bottom line was that wily old Mr. Bauer had accomplished his goal. He had demonstrated just why his special assistants were well worth the salaries they earned. We were convinced. In the end, there were layoffs at BBI. Of course, a lot of customer service functions were now duplicative of our own staff. I left Mr. Bauer in charge of BBI LA headquarters, though, because in the end he was still a pretty damn good prognosticator. As for the special assistants, well, we found ways to justify keeping three of them on staff LA, all except Shauna. JT and I decided that the harsh California sun was too hard on Shauna's fragile and easily sunburned skin. So rather than keep her at BBI, we're paying relocations expenses to move her back east, where she will begin her new career as a special assistant to JT and myself at Affirmative Investments in New York. The end. This podcast is part of the Erotica Podcast Network. Please visit our other podcasts. Their links are in the description of this episode. Both the Erotica Podcast and the Erotica Taboo Podcast offer $2 subscriptions with bonus episodes.